And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker. But most folks around here call me Whit.
My name is Finian Jones, and you are...
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
I'm Roy.
And I'm Andrew, and we're your hosts for Audio Theater Central.
Welcome to episode 44.
Welcome back again to another episode of just discussing family-friendly audio drama. I think it's like our favorite thing in the world to do, right?
Oh, yes.
Pretty much.
That's what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that Christmas is right around the corner, and so we did want to talk about something really fun this time. It's from the Colonial Radio Theater. It's called The Star Angel. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. We got some feedback from listeners, and we've got an update on our project that we're working on, our audio drama. But I think there's something that we usually do first, but I can't remember what it is. Do you remember, Andrew?
I have no idea.
I think we got to do a review. Is that what it is?
Oh, newscast.
Newscast.
Well, that's not very important to the show. We can just skip it today.
Going. I mean, yeah. We've gotten in this habit of skipping the newscasts a little bit here. I think we just continue with the trend.
I think you need to earn your keep around here.
That's right. Zach Callison recently announced that he will no longer be voicing the character of Matthew Parker on Adventures in Odyssey. He stated that the AIO team is not retiring the character, just getting a new actor with a younger sounding voice. Season 2 of the Brinkman Adventures is now available. You can grab either the digital download or CD version of the 12 brand new episodes at brinkmanadventures.com. The Iliad House team has announced that they will not hit their original December goal for release of the first episode of the series. They are still producing the pilot series and hope to have an episode out in the not-too-distant future. The team also says that Iliad House will be available on iTunes, Amazon Cloud, Google Play Store, and on audio CD. That's it for the news this time. I'm Roy, reporting for Audio Theater Central.
Fantastic. I couldn't have timed that any better.
That was pretty awesome there, Roy.
Right to the end of the music. I didn't even have to loop it.
Yeah, they can keep me around for the next episode now.
Maybe. Yeah.
You succeeded.
Yeah.
What's up with that? How can you just drop a bombshell like Zach Callison not voicing Matthew Parker and then just...
Move on.
I know. I almost just ended my whole entire newscast with that first line right there. But it's really disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I found out, I was like, no way. That's terrible.
Yeah.
And on one hand, I can see why they're doing this. They would rather keep the Parker family around so they can continue using those characters. But you get attached to a particular voice, and I think Zach does a fantastic job with the character.
Exactly. Yeah. It's hard. There's no doubt. It's like, oh, come on. I understand it from a production standpoint.
Right, right.
It makes sense.
Exactly. It makes sense. But from a listener standpoint,
yeah,
I'm like, what?
Where's the consistency of years past?
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting. It didn't affect me as much with Camilla and Olivia, because they've already cycled through actors on both of those characters.
Good point.
That's true, but Olivia, I didn't even notice when I first heard it.
Those two actresses' voices were very, very similar.
And Camilla, I noticed it and was like, oh man, here we go again. Bummer, but I don't pay very much attention to Camilla anyway, so maybe that's just because she's 8 years old. I don't know.
They might surprise us. We might all be surprised, you know. And the new voice of Matthew Parker might just flow right along, like with the other ones, you know?
Could be
kind of putting the cart before the horse. But I don't know.
I'm just wondering why they don't just let them age a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Why not? I know his voice is changing.
Yeah.
And that's why what, you know, their thought is behind it, but...
Have another episode about voice changing.
It's been many moons since that's happened.
Yeah. Probably 10 or 15 years, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Just do it again. Rerun it. No big deal.
Just reproduce the same script.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just substitute throw Zach Parker in there.
For Barkley.
Exactly. Yeah. No big deal.
I mean, there are a lot of new fans that probably haven't heard these older episodes anyway, so.
Right. I don't know. That's okay. We'll live with it. We're not going to stop being AIO fans because of it.
No. Nope. It's not going to change our lives or anything.
Well, I don't know about that.
It'll change Zach's life. But
he did say that they told him there's a possibility they may bring him back in the future as another character. So
That would be cool.
Well, yeah, I hope so. Because, yeah.
I don't know. What's next? Barrett's going to change. Ugh, I can feel it coming. Here we go again.
I never got really attached to the Parker family as a whole as much as I did like the Washingtons or the Barclays, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, now let's be fair, mm-hmm. and let's go back and think how many people played Marvin. At least three.
Really?
Yes. There was a Marvin that existed for only one episode, and then he changed to a different Marvin, and then Marvin changed again. So, I don't know.
Well, I guess I never even caught it. There you
go. Voiced by three actors.
A crack research team just sent this out to us.
Okay.
Marvin Washington was voiced by three actors in 33 different episodes.
But the majority of them were that one kid, I'm sure, right? I mean...
I don't think so, if I remember right. It was about an even split. Like, there was that one that just one actor played, and then there was the other that... The one actor played him for just one episode, and then it was another actor for, you know, maybe a whole album or two or whatever. And then it changed to the one that we think of more as Marvin because he played it for more.
Oh, okay. Huh. Wow.
That's yeah, there you go.
I didn't know.
Here's our crack research team again. So Kyle Massey played him once in 2003. Then Jordan Calloway from 2003 to 2004. So for... Two or three seasons, whatever albums. And then Kendra Berry from 2004 to 2008.
Oh, okay.
So, that's why.
Wow, so they must have had pretty similar voices, too, because I never even picked up on that.
It must have been, but...
So, I mean, given the benefit of the doubt, you know.
Yeah.
It's happened before.
Yeah, it can happen again.
It works out, and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well...
But I still say bummer.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we could still... Bring the Washingtons back, too, huh?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
They're a fun family.
Come on.
Like, producing dramas... we're going down rabbit trails, I know. But producing dramas in, like, today's age, we have the internet, and, like, news is available. Anything that happens, we know about it instantly. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, when you didn't know an actor changed or whatever, an actor's voices changed, how much would we really notice it, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. That's true. Good point, Roy.
Yeah.
We just talked ourselves out of being upset. Okay, let's move on.
We just had to get this off our chest.
We just had to talk through it.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Let's get off the couches and
into the trenches.
Into the trenches, yeah.
The Star Angel by the Colonial Radio Theater. Fantastic story that Andrew is going to tell us a little bit about.
Yes. On Christmas Eve, after Sean breaks one of the tree ornaments, a strange force shrinks both he and his sister Samantha down to ornament size. They meet old Saint Nicholas, the ornament, who tells them that in order to return to their normal height, they must talk to the magical Star Angel who resides at the very top of the Christmas tree. And they must do so before sunrise, when the magic of Christmas Eve that brings the ornaments to life fades away and will turn them into ornaments as well. With the aid of the Cookie Dough Man, 66, Lighthouse, Sheriff, and Pockets the Tramp Clown, they embark on a journey to the top of the tree. Blocking their way is the sinister Scrimshaw, a damaged ornament who lives on the empty side of the tree. Can they reach the Star Angel before first light? With delightful songs by Jeffrey Gage, the Star Angel is a holiday musical adventure that will warm your heart for many Christmas Eves to come.
And I would have to agree with everything you just said.
Yes.
And for those of you who have not heard it yet, here is a little glimpse into what you can expect from the Star Angel. This is a scene near the beginning with the character Sean.
Santa Connor, go ahead, over. Received of your mission. Over. Roger. Over and out. The spies of the Atomic Christmas Tree. You're toast. My fastest Smoky Wheels car. And my official Smoky Wheels racetrack. With sky-high downward glide. Then around the loopy-loop. And finally, the launch ramp. Lined up perfectly to destroy the Christmas tree with fake snow inside ornament. You're doomed! Doomed, I tell you! And... Anaconda to base. Mission accomplished. Spies are gone, and their ship busted into a million pieces. Huh?
And that's kind of where the whole thing kicks off. It's Sean's disregard for the ornaments, and he breaks that one, and it kind of sets a whole series of events in motion that just takes you on a fantastic story. It's wonderfully entertaining.
Emotional, moving.
Very yeah. Nice. Oh, yeah, definitely.
This particular drama, The Star Angel, was a 2012 Audi nominee for the Best Audio Drama. It also was given a Parents' Choice Award in spring 2013, so this is top-notch stuff.
Definitely. It's very high quality, as you just heard, I'm sure. All the sound design, the music, it was all great. So we would recommend that you pick this up quickly. It would be great to listen to this on Christmas Eve every
year. Yeah.
Day. Oh, that'd be a perfect, perfect.
I cannot tell you how many times I've listened to this story. I'm sorry. It's like been one of those, you know, when you buy a good music CD, I know it's kind of different, but when you, and you like, you just get attached to it and you listen to it over and over again.
Yeah.
Well, man, this has been one of those audio dramas that I've just been attached to and I listen to it over and over and over again. It's just, it's a really great story.
I guess that is a little bit similar because it is a musical.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of songs throughout.
Yeah. And that's the one thing that kind of grabbed me at the very beginning because I love musicals. I love it.
Yeah.
And when
definitely.
The song started, I'm like, no way. This is awesome. You know?
Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I want to mention it was released in 2012, so it's been out for a year. It's two CDs. It's an hour and 39 minutes long, so it's not, you know, as long as your typical like Lamplighter Theater or Focus on the Family Radio Theater, which is it's actually a perfect length for just getting the whole family together and just sitting down in the living room and listening to it.
I definitely agree with that. Definitely.
You know, the songs are really fun and they're catchy. I really, really liked the song, the Sheriff's song.
Yes.
Yes.
And a rootin' tootin', highfalutin', pissin', shootin' Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah. I love how they all take turns on their
and
own
change
verse.
The words.
Yeah, the Sheriff's like, hey! I think, but all the songs, the same old snowman song the girl starts off with, you know, and then the cookie dough man's song is really funny when he's coming down to get the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, especially a little scene and in there where, because they put these like little things to like other stories in there, you know. He's sliding down the tree, the cookie dough man, and he comes to Tiny Tim, and he's like, "Beware, Scrooge alert!" He's like, "Oh, God bless us, everyone."
Yes, yeah,
it's
exactly.
So funny. It's so funny. Great. Just they put these little things throughout the whole entire story that just cracks me up.
Yeah, there was a lot of cool things like that. Well, here's an instance of one. Scrimshaw, he says, I hate the sound of music whenever he hears the snowman singing.
Yes.
And one of the snowmen says, I guess it's not one of his favorite things.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. I love that.
There's a line in there too, the same one with the snowman and the Scrimshaw. It just cracks me up every time I hear it. He's talking about how Sean is the destroyer because he messed his life up. And then like, we need to attack Samantha. And then the snowmen are like, we like her. And like, no. Like, look what he did to one of your fellow snowmen. And she had placed him too close to the lights 1 year, and so it fried the snowman. And
melted.
And so, like, all the snowmen look up, and there's the, like, fried snowman, and one says, oh, the snowmanity! And, like, it cracks me up every time. It's so funny. These little puns that are in there, it's just really funny. There's just great lines throughout the whole thing.
So, they keep the story moving really well.
Yeah.
The songs flow into the story perfectly.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Perfect. The music comes in.
Seamless.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
yeah. Because you got basically the intro to a song that starts so that you don't even really notice it. You think maybe we're headed for a scene transition or whatever, but then it just flows into this song. And and flows right back out into the story again. And it's perfect. So, really like it.
Go ahead.
The sheriff character is one of my favorites. I love him.
Oh, I also thought, you're right, but I also thought that it was hilarious the way that the same actor plays Scrimshaw, the sheriff, like all these different people.
And really, I didn't pick up on that in the whole entire show, like I was listening to it, until after I heard the credits. And I listened to it again, like, oh, yeah, okay, I can hear it kind of, you know. But he does an amazing job separating all of them.
Yeah, Jerry Robbins.
Yep. Yeah, Jerry Robbins is very good.
Yeah, writer and director as well, so.
Ooh.
He kind of is Colonial Radio Theater. Yeah. He's pretty cool. I like Jerry Robbins.
Yeah, and I felt the same way. I didn't catch up. They didn't catch on to the fact that he was doing all of those voices until afterwards. And then I listened again, because I, like you, I've listened to it probably four times. And you can pick up on it if you're listening closely, but it's really neat. I love that line by the lighthouse ornament. She's like, "Watch me kick your keister with my nor'easter." I love that.
I'd have to say some of my favorite characters would be the snowman entirely. I mean, just their whole song and dance, their tap dancing and everything, and the head snowman. And I think one of the main things I really liked about was the snowman song. It's hilarious. It's really funny.
And there's a lot of talent in this production.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, the whole singing and
the
all
trio
that stuff,
and everything.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I think the singing is what tops the story off, too, being a whole musical and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It reminds you a lot of, like, a play on Broadway or something.
Yes.
Exactly.
And Jeffrey Gage, composer, and he wrote the songs as well, not just all of the music that flows throughout the thing, but every single song. Just amazing job. I mean, the music is really outstanding. There is one thing that I really liked. Pockets song was a good one too. That's kind of where the memories it kind of brings it around, and
yeah, it flows through the whole thing.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Because you got this boy struggling, you know, with his grief and other things, but he tends to work it all out between all these different ornaments, you know.
Exactly.
And it starts with that lighthouse. Yeah, the lighthouse song too. You know, he begins to see things different and whatnot, and then the memory song and
the memory song is. In the whole thing, like in that, it starts there as the first time we hear it, and then
it wraps
jumps
up with
back
that.
In at the Star Angel portion, and then it jumps back in at the end. It wraps up with that, which kind of makes you wonder if the narrator isn't Sean Older.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, well, and that's another aspect of it—the multi-generational story.
That's awesome. Yeah. I loved that. That was really cool.
Because isn't that? I mean, a quintessential thing of Christmas is traditions. And being with family and how you hand down things from one generation to another. And I thought it was just really neat how they worked that in. But speaking of how he sees things differently, there's that one car that he's like, man, it's all broken down. It's all rusty or whatever it was, and in the middle of that memory song, as things start to come to his mind, he looks over and he's like, oh wow, look at it, it's all brand new and shiny, and Pocket says to him, the car hasn't changed, Sean, the way you look at it has.
Yeah,
right. And I think somewhere during that song was where I picked up that Jerry Robbins was playing Pockets too. So he's playing Pockets, the sheriff. I picked up the sheriff and Scrimshaw pretty quickly because I've heard a lot of Jerry Robbins playing different voices, so I recognized it, but I was like, man, he's playing Pockets too. Goodness, this guy's just all over the place. That's awesome.
Do you think they did a little effects on that voice there, because it kind of like bring it down a little bit?
I think so.
It seemed like it was a little deep.
Because he did sound different, and it seemed like just a normal voice, but and that's the other thing too, is his other two voices were like caricatures.
Mm-hmm.
So that really helped.
Well, I mean, it's just a delightful and heartwarming production. I think it's one that I'll be coming back to year after year, listening to over and over. I actually played it for some family a week or two ago, and it was just fun. Everybody sitting around and listening to the story, and the next day we were out shopping, and my aunt looks over at me and she's like, I'm never going to look at ornaments the same way again.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so true. It's hilarious. I had to text my wife and tell her immediately that Hey, I have another audio drama for us to listen to because this is awesome.
Yeah,
so,
it really is.
We haven't listened to it together yet, but we will. So
I have a question, though, at the end when Scrimshaw, the sunbeam hits him and he falls off the tree. I was wondering if they would actually find him on the floor when they became older again.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that would have been cool. They should have done that.
I don't know if he'd still be on the tree or not, but it was funny. I just thought of that because he fell off the tree in the story.
Yeah.
You know? Hit the floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chattered.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't even pick up on that. That's a good question.
But, I mean, I could see, I don't see, it doesn't need to be in there, but I was just wondering, you know.
Yeah, it would have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
And just the way it wrapped up at the end, just coming back around, I mean, we know that it started off with generations prior to Sean, and then the main story is Sean as a child, and then it ends with him as an adult.
Right.
And it just kind of brings it back. I mean, just showing how time passes, but these memories and the things that we love about Christmas can continue on.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, as Andrew already stated, you got to pick this one up. It's a lot of fun for the whole family. Highly recommend this one. We really think you're going to enjoy this.
I believe it's available for download, isn't that right? So it's instantaneous delivery. No need to wait for a CD.
Yeah.
Exactly. Link in the show notes for you to grab a digital copy of this Star Angel. And definitely think you're going to enjoy this. Well, I think we should jump into a little bit of feedback. What do you think?
Sure thing.
So what do you think of the show?
Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, Audio Theater Central.
Hey, guys, this is Austin Peachy.
Hello, JD, Roy, and Andrew. My name is Victoria.
Now, yesterday, I received a letter from a big fan.
No time to chat. I've got an email list.
Another package for me today.
No, it's actually just your mail.
All right, so today we have one... Only one. Hey, people, help us out here. We've got one comment that was left on the blog from Sea Guy. It says, hello, JD, Andrew, Roy, listeners, myself.
Oh. hey, look, he said JD, Andrew, Roy. Remember, weren't we like talking about that earlier?
I don't know. He put it out of order, didn't he? I mean, yeah. I'm supposed to be the caboose here.
Anyway.
Hello, Andrew, or JD, Andrew, Roy, listeners, myself. Wow, he's spreading the hellos far and near. I just have three things to say. That's always a good way to start off something. First off, your review of AIO Album 57 was very good. Though, I have to join with Roy and Andrew on the episode. Trouble Under the Big Top. I really enjoyed that episode. Sorry, JD.
Apology accepted.
But I do agree that Jay is the best thing AIO has done since the reboot. He's wasome.
I'm not sure what that means.
Wasome.
It's probably like a combination between way and awesome, you know? So
yeah, he's way awesome. Way awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Secondly, Roy, to be frank. No, you're Sea Guy, not Frank. Secondly, Roy, to be frank, you need some new joke material.
Yes, I agree. I am taking, how would you say it? I am taking submissions to the joke at the end of the show. You can send me an email.
Feedback
at audiotheatercentral.com.
And we'll read it.
We will take your jokes, comments, complaints.
But
complaints.
I'll take your jokes.
That is a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
So we will have listener jokes on the show.
Address it to Roy at audiotheatercentral.com. Joke.
And if none of you know what we're talking about jokes, then you should listen past the end of the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
And since C-Guy was the one to point it out, he has to submit the first joke.
Yep.
Exactly.
I agree.
And finally, I have a question for all of you. What is one of your favorite audio dramas and why? Well, I'm glad he said one of, because we have too many to count. So...
Yeah, and can I say a thing that I hear... artists always saying whenever they're asked about what's their favorite song, well, you know, they're all like my children and I can't choose just one.
There you go.
But what if you're an only child?
You can quote JD. No, we don't have only child. Well, you have an only child?
I am an only child.
An audio drama that's your only child?
No. But
no, we have several.
Just teasing.
Yeah, it's impossible to pick one. I'm going to go first. So I think what I usually do whenever somebody asks me something like this is, what is the most recent one that I'm really, really enjoying?
There you go.
So aside from The Star Angel, the one that I'm really loving right now is Under Drake's Flag, The Extraordinary Adventures of G.A. Hindi. And the reason why is because it is absolutely awesome. The acting, the music, the sound effects, the story itself is just phenomenal. So that's my answer.
Now, I have kind of a different approach when somebody asks me this question, especially when they throw the "and why" on there.
Mm-hmm.
I pick a topic like sound design, blah, 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 and then throw in my favorite because of that reason.
Okay.
So we were kind of just discussing this. Because of the sound design and the realness of the story, I would have to say one of my favorite audio dramas is At Home in Midford.
Okay.
Because it just puts you in every scene. It just puts you there. It's very authentic is the word I'm looking for. And it's very moving, the acting, all of it. It's really good. It's not as action-packed as a lot of stories, but that's what makes it even better, is the fact that it's not action-packed, but it still holds your interest. And the sound design is so amazing that you never lose track of what's going on in the story. So that's just one of many.
Well, that sounds very good, but since I have not heard that one yet, I have no idea if
what you're saying is accurate. It is very accurate. I agree.
Yes.
I have heard it. And I think anybody that has heard the story can agree with that.
Yes.
But with the millions of choices to choose from, and I agree with both yours, I was thinking Under Drake's Flag as well, because that's really good. But
you can't take that.
I can't take it, no. But to pick one that just I listen to for enjoyment and just as a casual thing and just for all pure corniness.
Screw Tape Letters?
No.
I know why you picked that one.
Because of the humor.
Yes.
You're going to think I'm crazy, but I just like to sit back and relax and just like, oh, just get my mind off of everything. I listen to The Pond.
There you go.
Okay.
And there you go.
I know it's a kid show. I know. Odyssey's a kid show, but this, like, the corniness and the way the lines are and everything. I love The Pond.
You know what? I have never heard any of those either.
Oh, it's hilarious. I know it is hilarious. It's geared toward more younger kids, but just...
Maybe five to eight.
Yeah. To just listen to and not be able to have to think or, you know, it has great morals, great stuff going on in the story, but it's hilarious. So
it kind of reminds me of Jungle Gym a little
bit. Yeah, it does remind me of Jungle Gym. Which I love Jungle Gym too.
Right.
But I really like The Pond.
Oh, now all these are just running through my mind is like, see what you've done, see guy.
Yeah. Oh, but then we really like this one.
Well, and here's another one. The Paws and Tails.
Paws and Tails.
Yeah.
Great
they
stuff.
They are just fun.
Their whole episodes that they did with the Goliath series.
Oh, my
those
goodness.
Those are awesome.
I'm just waiting for it to come back.
For the story to finish.
Yes. Because we know CJ is like the chosen one. Mm-hmm. You know.
But chosen for what?
Exactly.
To free the people from the valley.
Exactly.
We know that too.
Exactly.
But nothing's happening.
Well, in this whole like time, you know, he's Papa Chuck's preparing him to be the chosen one. Mm-hmm. And there's all this outside force, you know, coming that they know he's the chosen one. And they don't want to become that, you know.
Right. Exactly.
And so it's like this whole like, ugh. When's it? We got to wait like 5 years down the road for time to pass, you know, CJ's learning enough to be the chosen one.
Yeah.
I honestly thought on one of these, I can't remember which one it was. I know I'm going off topic, but there's one where he like falls down into this pit or whatever. Him and Papa Chuck are hiking up in the mountain.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, like, he's going to go. He's going to be, he's going to like fall into, you know, however Papa Chuck got to that city.
Right.
You know, CJ's all of a sudden going to be there. I was just, it was a small hope, you know. I was like, oh.
Are you talking about that one where he meets all those scraggly creatures that mm-hmm. turn out to be bears?
Yep. And, yep.
Yeah. I love that one. That was so fun. And then there's the one where they go to that other town. Papa Chuck has to deliver a desk that he's built. And they see that one church where all the people are like walled in. And they was that a two or three parter?
It's a two parter.
That one was really fun. I really liked that one too.
Yeah.
So
we could do a whole entire podcast just about our favorite audio.
And that's
like
not a bad idea.
Yeah,
maybe we should.
Hey, we could do
a good bonus episode.
Yeah,
exactly.
Here, listen to us talk about our favorite audio things.
Speaking of our favorite things, one of our current favorite things is the Crossmaker audio drama that we're working on. A little bit of an update. We just recently produced the Crossmaker in front of a live audience at our local church and had a blast doing it.
It was so much.
It was a lot of fun.
Oh, my goodness.
I did some sound effects for it. Andrew did some voiceover work and some live Foley. He was a live Foley artist.
Oh, yeah. So it was quite nerve-wracking, but awesome at the same time. It was so much
fun. Along with one of our other friends that helped us out. And JD was producer, and we had actors, and we just had a wonderful time, and the whole thing turned out to be a really good success. And to pat our own backs.
Yeah, exactly.
We think.
That it was great, yes. Yeah.
And it was... Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say that doing the live Foley gave me such an appreciation for things like the live show and old-time radio and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I even managed to injure myself during the show. I dropped a log on my finger.
I didn't even hear about that.
I didn't hear about it either.
I knew I couldn't cry out because we're in the middle of an audio drama, so I had to hold it in. But, yes, that did happen. So, new experience for me.
And I think it was good practice for us because we recorded it for our own sake, you know, just so we could listen back and see what can we fix because we're going to reproduce it in studio, and that's the version that'll be released to you guys. So, yeah, it was just a real good learning experience for us, I think.
Definitely.
Definitely. So, if you're interested, let us know that you're interested, and we will put you on the list of people to get a CD.
Exactly. Yep, so we're going to be doing, I think I've mentioned this briefly, but we're going to do a small crowdfunding campaign just to try to cover the costs of creating these CDs, and we've got some really cool prizes that will be given. Of course, obviously, digital downloads of the production, CD copies, we got posters and T-shirts and all kinds of stuff. Starting the levels start as low as $5. So, if anybody wants to help out in that, just keep that in mind. We'll be talking about it as soon as that webpage goes live, where you can participate. And we'd love to have you jump in and help us with this. That, like I said, that page is not live on our website yet, but it will be, and we'll let you know when it's available. There's even opportunities for you to get listed in the credits on the CD liner notes as one of the official sponsors. So all kinds of cool stuff, and we'd love for you to be a part of that, so keep that in mind. Any other last words related to the holidays?
No.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, have a wonderful Christmas, and enjoy your holidays, and eat lots.
No diets, as our pastor is fond of saying.
Yeah.
All diets are off. Yeah. And if anybody's dieting in the family, stop it so you don't make us all miserable.
Yeah.
Exactly. And go back and listen to our episode about the Shepherd's Prayer, another great Christmas drama that you can listen to at this time of year. And if you go to shepherdsprayer.com/ATC, you can get your own copy. And check that out. And there's a link in the show notes for that, as well as a link to our review of that. Well, again, thank you so much. We hope you have a Merry Christmas. And enjoy some audio drama with your family over the holidays.
Yeah. Kick back, have some pie and ice cream or whatever, what have you, some hot chocolate, some coffee.
I can make a recommendation. A great one to listen to is Focus on the Family is A Christmas Carol. We listen to that one every year.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. We now have plenty to choose from.
Yes. So. And also a link in the show notes is our Christmas episode from last year, which we just went in-depth on all kinds of great Christmas-related audio drama. Well, if you'd like to get in touch with us, there's multiple ways you can do that. You can click the Leave Us a Comment button on the side of our website and record something right from your computer or your iPhone. It works directly from your iPhone. And that audio comment will come right to us. We can play that on the show. Or you can also...
Send us an email at feedback@audiotheatercentral.com. And we will get your email and...
tell your jokes.
Yeah. Don't forget, submit your jokes to me, Roy.
get your wishes for, you know, Merry Christmas and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Any other comments you want to leave with us?
As I heard one time, one person said, you can send me your Christmas list. Doesn't mean I'm going to do anything with it, though.
We also have a feedback hotline, which you can call or send us a text message there. And the phone number for that is 623-688-2770. That was 623-688-2770.
We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Audio Theater Central is a production of Radio CSS Media. RadioCSS.com.
So I got a question for you guys. What is your favorite Christmas carol?
Can we be very specific?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, if we're being very specific, this very recent acquisition of mine, the piano guys do O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and it's amazing.
Oh. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. It's a Christmas song. I really like Christmas in Dixie by Alabama.
I don't know if I know that one.
Let me find a Christian one real quick.
I really like O Holy Night for some reason. I love the sound of it.
Yes, I love the way it builds. So yes. You could do like O Holy Night, and there are some very good versions of that. Anthony Evans has an amazing version. Celine Dion has a good version. Yeah. Josh Groban.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, Holy Night, goodness. Really good. O Holy Night. All the good artists have good versions.
Yeah.
I really like the versions of Lullaby by The Nativity Story.
Oh yes, yeah. That is a really good one.
I listen to that all the time. One of my favorites.
A non-traditional carol that I really like is Andrew Peterson does that song. What is it called? Mary.
Did you know?
No.
Oh,
Mary's Lullaby?
Oh, that could be.
What is it called?
But while JD's looking for that, I'd have to say that a non-traditional one for me, too, would be Mary, Did You Know? By just about anybody that's a good singer. As long as they can hit those high notes.
Yeah.
That's an amazing song.
Christmas with a capital C.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Traditional.
There are some versions of that one, Mary, Did You Know, that are better than others.
Definitely.
Like, there are some people that can just, I don't know.
Just evoke such a feeling. And actually, we have a local person here that's on iTunes that does Mary, Did You Know. There's a very large church in the Phoenix area that does a Christmas play every year, and the person that sings that song in the midst of their Christmas play every year is absolutely amazing, and his song is available on iTunes. His name is Jeff May, but he is an incredible singer, and there's nothing like hearing it live, because when you're sitting there, it's just awesome.
I like Ernie Haas' Signature Sounds, all of their Christmas songs.
Yeah, that's a good
one. That's a good one. So the one I was trying to think of is Andrew Peterson's called Labor of Love.
Hmm.
It's a really, really cool song. And while we're on it, Chris Rice's song, Welcome to Our World, love that one too.
Oh,
I like Mary's Boy Child.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah. We could probably go on for quite a while, because I love Christmas music.
Yeah, me too.
Here's something that listeners may not know, is that we started out, the three of us, doing a music show years ago, and if I remember correctly, did you guys not do something where you played a Christmas song in July?
We did. We did Christmas in July or something like that.
Yep. And that was the first time we hosted the show.
Our first show.
Or were involved in it or anything like that.
We went out
like
of town that. And we held the show.
We took it by ourselves. That was nerve-wracking.
That was
fun.
I can remember that, man.
All right. Well, go listen to some Christmas music.